Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as I open your word this evening, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward, to be with us, to open our hearts and our minds, to be receptive, Father, unto this thy word, and to give us the true revelation of what the word is saying, Father, so that we will not be deceived by those that are out there that are deceiving so many of mankind. Now, Father, keep us straight in your word, and I'm asking this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in Mark chapter 8. It's not a real long chapter. There's 38 verses, but there's several things in it, so we'll see what the Lord our God does have for us. Beginning here with verse 1, in those days the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said unto them, Two, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. Three, and if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. So they've been traveling quite a while, some of them. Four. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? You see, once again, they're questioning him about feeding them, just as they did actually over in chapter 6, when he fed that 5,000. But Jesus always has the answer. And he still does for you and I today. If we will put our trust in him and our faith, we can know that whatsoever we need, he is there to supply it. And see that we have the needful things. Now, here in 5, and he asked them, how many loaves have you? And they said 7. Now that's 2 more loaves than they had when they fed the 5,000. They had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now here they're telling here in verse 5 when he asked there in 5, they told him 6. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, gave thanks and brake, and gave to his disciples to set before them, and they did eat, and they did set them before the people. 7. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to eat them also before them. Not eat, but set. I'm sorry. So they did eat and were filled. Again, they're full. They eat all they want. And they took up broken meat that was left, 7 baskets. Now, you know, the first time with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he fed 5,000 men, plus the women and children that was with them. We don't know how many that was. But left over, they took up 12 baskets. Now here, we find in 9, well, in 8, so they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. They still got 7 baskets left over off the 7 loaves, and it said a few fishes. Didn't say how many, just said a few fishes. 9. And they that had eaten were about 4,000. And he sent them away. Now, they'd been with him 3 days, and a lot of them had traveled a long way, so we don't know how many days they were away from home. But now he's sending them back to their homes, and he's sending them full when they leave him. Now, 10. And straightway, he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmatia. 11. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. You see, it doesn't matter what he does. Always somebody hanging around to tempt him and trying to get him to say things that can get him destroyed. Now, 12. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. He let them know, I'm not going to give you a sign. 13. And he left them and entered into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now, 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. They got one loaf, that's it. 15. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Now, you know, there in 15 where he charged them, that charge means he ordered. And that leaven that he's speaking here with, it has a derogatory meaning, which Jesus warns of the Pharisees, hypocrisy, and of Herod, secularism. In other words, evil. Provoke. Now, 16. And they reason among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. His own disciples are having a terrible time understanding the truth of his meanings. Seventeen. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because you have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have you in your heart yet hardened? Has your heart been hardened? But they're having no understanding. They're not getting the revelation of a lot that he is having to say and to do. 18. Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember when I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they say unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. 21. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? They are not understanding that just because they have so little with them, that they're going to be hungry. Because he's not going to take care of them. And this is what he's trying to get them to understand. I can take care of you. And that's what he's trying to get mankind today to understand. I can take care of you and of your needs if you will do the things you are supposed to do and go to the Lord Jesus and repent. And put him on. And we do that through baptism. Water baptism. And get into my word. Study my word. Start living for me. Until you are born again. And once we are born again, our trust should be in him and not in ourselves. And he will take care of us in all that we need. He may not do it right at the moment we want it, but it will be taken care of. Because you see, he doesn't make a promise and then go against that promise. And that's why you hear me so often talk about a lot of the teaching today being contradictory to the Word of God, because they are teaching things about things he has said, but they've turned it around upside down, took away from it and added to it to make it say what they want instead of what he wanted it to say. Because those that are teaching contrary to the Word of God, they are not seeing, they are not hearing, they are not understanding either. And it's causing them to deceive many today in this day and time. Now, we're through with him feeding all of these now. And we're going to get in to something else that's probably going to bring controversy to him. Here in 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida. And they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. 25. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. 26. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go ye into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. He told him not to go into town or tell anyone in the town what he had just done. Now, 27. He healed his blind man. And at this point, he's gotten away with it. Not a lot of them coming against him for it. 27. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others, one of the prophets. 29. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, thou art the Christ. 30. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. Now, 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days raise again. Now he's told his disciples why he is here and what he is facing. 32. And as he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Here's that Peter opening his mouth when he should be thinking and listening instead. 33. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. That's what he's telling Peter. You're not looking and wanting the things of God. You're looking for things that be of men. Now, 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, talking to a group of people, especially in that day and time, and where he's talking to the people there, shows that his teaching is not limited to the present disciples, but extends to all who would serve Jesus. And it is still extending to you and I today. That's why we go through a lot of things we have to go through while we are serving him. We have a cross to bear. And that cross is Satan and his demons come against us in many different ways. But it's all aimed at dragging us down and away from Almighty God. He says, take up his cross and follow him. 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. You see, when you're going to think more of your own life than you do of the Lord God and serving him, he said, you're going to lose your life. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. That's why you and I today, in order to be a born-again child of God, we have to give totally and completely ourselves unto him. And let him know that we are his to use in any way, pardon me, any way he wants to use us. To work through us, to live our lives through him, and he through us. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel is the same shall save it. 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So what are you willing to trade today for your soul? To spend eternity in hell, in that lake of fire? There is nothing in this world worth trading for. Or no one worth trading your soul for. Because once that soul is in hell in that lake of fire, there will never be any way out. And you will continue forever in that pain and agony. And all the weeping and all that you can do there will gain you nothing. Now, 37. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Which is the same thing as we were just talking about. And there is nothing really worth that. But there's a lot of them out here doing it. In fact, there's more doing it than not doing it. Some don't realize it, but there are some that is being deceived about it and believing because they have been taught contrary to the Word of God. And they are accepting things they shouldn't be accepting because they don't understand. They believe they've got heaven made their home because that's what they're being told by the deceivers. And they're as lost as they can be. And we need to be praying for them that they will wake up and find the right way and the right word. And back to Jesus and make him their way of salvation. Now, 38. And this is the last verse to chapter 8. Whatsoever, therefore, shall be as, pardon me, whosoever, therefore, shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. And let me tell you something. As we go, and been going through the whole Bible, there's not many generations that's worse than the one you and I are living in right now. And you see what he's saying about that. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh into the glory of his Father with the holy angels. In other words, he's letting you know that if you are ashamed of him, he's going to be ashamed of you before the Father. Think about these things. You know, my prayer is that all that hear this teaching will begin to think about their lives, how they are really and truly standing with the Lord Jesus, with the Father, and with the Son. Because until they are born again, they cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You find that, and we'll be even getting into that later down the road, because it's in the third chapter of the Gospel of John. So I'm not going there right now, because we're going to be hitting that down the road. But Jesus is telling us there, as he talks to Nicodemus, that no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born again. And we're told in the New Testament how to be born again. Just exactly what to do, how to do it. And we'll be getting into that again also. Now, we have come to the end now of chapter 8 of Mark. So we're going to stop there. And God willing, we'll be picking up in the morning with chapter 9 of the gospel. Wednesday, we're going to be going back in to the Old Testament. for some study there. But right now, our main study is in the four Gospels of the Holy Bible. Because so many of us believe we are right, and we're really not ready. And you know, without being anointed, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not ready. There's a lot of them claiming today, oh yeah, well, I've got the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's living in me. Do you speak in tongues? Do you? Because you see, if the Holy Spirit's there, you will. So if you're not and you can't speak in tongues, you better stick and get into God's Word. And find out more than what you know now. We'll be talking about all these things as we're going through the four Gospels and the New Testament. And by the time we get through the New Testament, you have no excuse whatsoever of not being able to walk as a child of the living God. Let us pray. I know, you know, before we go to prayer, there's a lot of them out there that don't like the way I teach. They don't like it because they don't like of God's Word. And God means exactly what He says. When He tells us not to do something, that's what He meant. And if He tells us to do it, then He means that also. That's why you are getting the Word of God straight from the book. And that's why I ask all to follow me as we study. So you can see. Now, let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as I close your word, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for these times that we do come together to share in the study of your word, Father, so that we can grow thereby. Grow and grow strong in faith and trust. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we pray for them. We pray that the Holy Spirit will keep them healthy, keep them safe, and see to their needs. Israel and Jerusalem, we pray for them to have peace. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, that has grown so evil, so full of evil, Father, and had no excuse for it, none whatsoever. This land that you had blessed, Father, time after time after time. And we sit back, Father, and let evil leaders of our government and of some of our churches bring all this evil upon this nation. And Father, we are praying that they be removed from office and others put in that are yours, walking in righteousness, that loves you, loves the Lord Jesus, loves the church, and loves this country, and will work with us to help us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, those that come in with this ministry and to study with us, Father, I pray for them now. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy and her husband Tom, and her son Jacob, Bobby and Millie Johnson, James Taylor, myself, all of our families. Because, Father, we all have family members that are not walking with you. We know this, Father. And we're praying that the Holy Spirit will work with them, work within each and every family, to give them guidance and to bring to their mind and their heart that they stand in need of something more than themselves and can help to bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that none be lost and all can have salvation and eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as we prepare to separate for this evening and through the night, keep us, Father, in health. Keep us safe. And let us rest through the night. And bring us all together again in the morning, Father, and back into your word at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Father, I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I want to let everyone know that is listening, in the morning, we will have communion, so get everything ready. So until then, walk with God. He'll walk with you. Have a great, great night.